Hear now God's word. Let God speak to us in the reading and hearing of his most precious word. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Proverbs at chapter 25, reading from verse 6 to verse 7. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. And we move now to the Gospel of St. Luke. I'll read some verses from chapter 14, verse 1, then verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Then at verse 7, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Amen. And thanks be to God for his most precious word.
When I was growing up, I had my fair share of sick days from school. Like most kids, when I was healthy, I would sometimes daydream about sick days and getting out of school responsibilities. But when I was actually sick, I would have given nearly anything to be healthy again and back with my friends at school. It's funny how that works, isn't it? In America, when I was in the sixth grade, about the same as P7 over here in the UK, I contracted mono, and I had it for over a year. During this time, because of limitations with my health, I either went home early or just stayed at home when I wasn't feeling well. During that time, I quickly learned that one of the consequences of so many sick days is the acquisition of a deep and abiding familiarity with daytime television. I did not enjoy soap operas during that time, but I did enjoy the game shows that would sometimes come on during the middle of the day, especially the game show The Price is Right. In the American version of the game show, whenever a new contestant was chosen by the audience to partake in the game, the announcer on the American side would yell a famous line, "Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right." Some years ago, one of my cousins went to a taping of The Price is Right, and she told me that the moment when someone's name was called out was absolutely electric. We might as well admit it. It feels good to be chosen. It feels good to be recognized. And even though we might feign embarrassment when it comes, it is meaningful to us when we feel celebrated and recognized by other people. At first glance, it might seem like our readings this morning from Proverbs and from the Gospel of Luke are nothing more than a tutorial on how to attain advancement while also looking good in the process. In the Jewish culture of Jesus' time, it was customary for people of influence and high position to host feasts and throw parties for their peers, and both of our texts center on this sort of event. Because of the way that the Jewish society of Jesus' time was structured, the social elite and the members of the clergy, they were one and the same. Those were the days. And in verse 1 of our reading from Luke, our text tells us that Jesus was invited to a meal by what Luke calls a, quote, ruler of the Pharisees, end quote. In other words, this wasn't just any invitation. This was a prestigious invitation. It would be the equivalent of one of us perhaps being invited to dine at the home of the moderator of the Church of Scotland. Maybe that doesn't sound like much fun to you. If not, feel free to insert your favorite musician or celebrity who's issuing the invite. But the kind of dinner that served as the backdrop for this lesson from Luke's gospel, this dinner would have been served around a long U-shaped table. The host would be seated at the base of the U in the center of the curved part of the table, and the invited guests were seated according to their social standing. The guest with the highest standing, as we might expect, would have been seated at the right hand of the host. The guest with the second highest social standing would have been seated at the immediate left of the host, and so on, and staggered, and down it would go. And it was common practice for the most honored guests, those on the right and the left, for those folks to arrive last. And this served two purposes. First, of course, it let the most honored guests make an entrance. It let them be seen. Second, it made all the lesser guests run the risk of being shamed by taking a seat meant for someone more important. I suppose they didn't use name tags in Jesus' day. Now, if we stop reading at verse 10 of this reading, we might think that Jesus is simply teaching his audience how best to advance themselves up the social ladder. But of course, Jesus' parables are never that simple or superficial. And in verse 11, Jesus takes the entire social system of his time, all of its expectations, all of its etiquette, and he turns it completely on its head. He says, the one who exalts himself will be made low. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the one who puffs himself up will be made low. The one who makes himself low will be exalted. And this verse in Luke's reading, it confronts us with a powerful reversing truth. This verse, I think, and the surrounding text, they remind us that most of the things over which we obsess, such as accolades and recognition, most of the things in life for which we work our fingers to the bone, they have no lasting value at all. To put it bluntly, the world's prizes, they have no lasting value in heaven. Verse 11 is one of those crystal clear moments when we are given the privilege of looking at the world from God's perspective. In God's eyes, the most beautiful, noble, and praiseworthy moments happen when we as believers dare to swim against the tide, to do better than the world around us by identifying with the least, with the lowly, with those who are at the perpetual bottom of the societal ladder. I'd like to tell a brief story to illustrate this point. In 1910, a young woman named Agnes Boyashi was born in the country of Albania. By the time that Agnes was 12 years old, she already felt a strong call to care for the needs of others. By the time she was 18 years old, Sister Agnes was now a Roman Catholic nun, and she devoted her whole life to the service of God and to other people. She was so effective in her work that Sister Agnes was eventually promoted to the position of headmistress, effectively, of a local school for orphans. As the years ticked by, Sister Agnes persisted in her ministry, and over time, her outreach to the poor, to the sick, to the dying, to the marginalized, to the discarded, her work gained international attention. And in 1979, Sister Agnes won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work with the poor and with those whom Indian society had labeled as outcasts. It's amazing to think that this petite little woman was once invited to address the United Nations, and owning nothing more than the clothes on her back and one change of clothes, she was introduced to the United Nations as the most powerful woman in the world. And it is very hard to imagine what the slums of Calcutta and the dark places of the wider world would look like today without the courage and humility of Sister Agnes, better known to us as Mother Teresa. The key text again from Luke: the one who exalts himself will be made low, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, these words of Jesus in verse 11 are not just reserved for the Mother Teresas of this world. These words are aimed at each of us as well. And these words of Jesus are not meant to make us miserable or sad. They are meant to help us become what we already are: Christians, our Lord's junior partners in ministry. We are reminded in this text that being a disciple of Jesus is not measured by how high we can reach. Rather, it is measured by how low we can stoop to help others. Being a disciple is not measured in ability per se. It is measured in humility. The one who exalts himself will be made low. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. And each day we're faced with a crucial choice. Which side of verse 11 do we want to be on? Are we going to exalt ourselves and allow our pride to make us come crashing back down to earth? Or will we choose the way of humility so that Christ himself may shine through us and through our lives? I think the reality of this choice was beautifully captured in the words of C.S. Lewis, who in his book, The Great Divorce, wrote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end. There are those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'Thy will be done.'" Quite a difference in those two wills. The one who exalts himself will be made low. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So by God's grace, let's keep up the good, humble work of the gospel. God sees it all. God values it all. God uses it all. God is truly exalted in the humblest and simplest things. Let us never, ever lose sight of that. It is in those small, humble things, those acts of service, those kind words, those things that don't garner a lot of attention from the wider world. Those things are the lifeblood of the economy of mercy. And this is precisely where Jesus Christ is still at work in the world today. So please, let's join him there. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.